Okay, good morning. Postin Lechorach Sanya, I want to extend my Hakarat HaTov to Rosh Hashiva and Torah Pesach, not only for inviting me this morning, but for giving me the opportunity on a daily basis to be involved in some small way in the Harbatzos HaTorah that goes on here. And every day that I'm here, I have a sense of katonti. I have a sense of being perhaps somewhat inadequate. And today, that's only double. And when I first came to the yeshiva, my first introduction to the yeshiva was I was still in high school. And I came to the Sunday morning shiur. And of course, the shiur itself was very impressive. And a lot of interesting things that went on there for a high school student to see. Fireplace in the middle of the base medrash, some guy in the background with long johns on, a lot of different things that the average high school student wasn't exposed to. But the shiur, of course, was the main takeaway. And I always left the Sunday shiur feeling somewhat excited, somewhat inspired, and obviously ultimately that brought me to the yeshiva years later. So with those reflections, I feel a certain sense of inadequacy today in trying to facilitate the Sunday morning learning. So understand that I don't feel that I could tell you anything that's new. I don't think I could present any chidushim. So that's not my intent this morning. I don't intend to give any chidushim, I'm sorry to say. And I'm actually reminded of the Hakdama, the Ramchal's Hakdama to the Mesilas Yesharim. This is the yeshiva's copy, by the way. The Ramchal opens with the following. He says, "Hachibur hazeh lo chibar tiv l'lamev l'bnei odom as asher lo yaldu." He says, I didn't write this work to tell anyone anything that they don't already know. Rather, el lahazkiram as hayadu alahem, to tell them some things that they know. Kvar umeforsam etzlam, pirsam gadol, very well known. I'm only going to tell you things that most people already know. And no one has any doubts about anything that I'm going to present here. But because they're so well known, they're so famous, they're taken so much for granted, but because they're so well known, that's in the things that perhaps we've already relegated to the back of our minds, we take them for granted, and we don't think about them. Because of that, he goes on to say that he's writing the book, because if it was important once upon a time, then it's important again, and it deserves review. So it's against that backdrop that I present this morning's discussion about the notion of Torah Lishma. And this is a topic that I've been thinking about on and off for the last 26 years. And it started with an innocent comment, passing comment, that was made by a very serious Ben Torah, who today is an Olam Gadol, and probably doesn't have the same feelings that he did back then. 26 years ago, this young man turned to me in the middle of learning and said, you know, I could spend all day learning, and he did, he was spending all day learning, so I could spend all day learning and not think about a Kodesh Baruch Hu once. And he wasn't bragging, he was bemoaning that fact. He thought there was a problem with that. And you take that in contrast to what is, I think, at this point, well known about the Rav Zatzal. The Rav, apparently, in the course of one of the Shuva Shiurim, recounted how, when learning, very often, he felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with him. He said that there are times when I learn Torah late at night, as is well known, the night's especially beneficial for the study of Torah. The Torah we master at night is clearer and sharper in our minds. There are times at night when I feel as if someone, the Divine Presence, is standing behind me, bending himself to look over my shoulder, to peer in the Talmudic text at the topic I am studying at that moment. So, two very different perspectives. The Rav felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow was partaking in his learning, or was present during his learning, in some way. Not literally, obviously. And then we have this young Talmud Chacham who said, spent the whole day, but didn't feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was on his mind at all. So how do we strike the balance? What is the proper perspective? And is one of these perspectives more correct than the other? So I'd like to begin with a Gemara in Masechet Nedarim that seemingly is addressing a different issue, but I think will take us in the direction that we need to go to explore this issue of Torah Lishma. And the Gemara says, this is the Gemara in Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, the Gemara says that unfortunately we very often find that Talmidei Chachamim don't necessarily have children, that they are themselves continue in the path of Limud HaTorah and don't become Talmidei Chachamim themselves. And the Gemara wants to know why. Why does this happen? How does this happen? What happens? This is set up so that people don't begin to feel that Torah flows naturally without any effort from one generation to the next. You have to work at it. That's one reason, one possibility. Rav Sheshas, Brei Rav Yidi Omer, Kadesh Lo Yizgadru Ala Tzibur. We don't want to have people beginning to act a certain way, acting presumptuously in the community, thinking, yeah, it's magia to me, it's coming to me, my father's a Rosh Hashiva, I'm going to be Rosh Hashiva, so you owe me a certain sense of kavod, you need to treat me a certain way. You don't want to have that. So also, it's not a natural thing, and people have to work at it. Marzucha Omer Mimnesha Hein Mizgabrin Al Tzibur. Not only because they think a certain way, but because they actually act a certain way. They act inappropriately. Now again, this is not true of everybody, but because this is a phenomenon that exists, this is why we have sometimes Talmid Chachamim not having children who follow in their footsteps. Rav Ashi Omer Mishum Dekaru Le'in Shichamri. As was a favorite answer to this Gemara, right? Because there are people that say, they hear their parents speaking derisively, derogatorily about others. They hear them call, they call Amoratzim donkeys. Or they come back from the rabbi's drasha and shul and they say, oh, that guy's Amoratz. So kids hear that and they grow up hearing people speak not nicely about those who are involved in Limud HaTorah. So they don't necessarily grow up thinking it's that important. And finally, for our purposes, most importantly, Ravina Omer She'ein Mevarchim B'Torah Tchila. Ravina said the reason why this evolves, the reason why this happens, that Talmid Chachamim sometimes will have children, they're not themselves Talmid Chachamim, because people don't say brachos before learning Torah. What does that mean? The Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Mai Dechsev, what is meant by the series of psukim in Sefer Yirmiyahu? Psukim in Yirmiyahu, one of those not so upbeat nevuas in Sefer Yirmiyahu. The Navi is talking about what will happen when Yerushalayim is destroyed. And the Pesukim say, V'nasati Yerushalayim l'golim, I will make Yerushalayim into heaps. Ma'on tonim, es ari Yehuda atin shmamam ibli yoshev, turn them into a place of jackals. And I'll make the cities desolate. Mi ha'isha chacham, v'yavin ezos, who's the one that's going to understand why this happens? I should diber pi Hashem elov v'yagida. Ama of the ha'oretz, Nitzasa kamidbar mi bli over. Why did this happen? Why did Jerusalem become desolate? Vayomra adonai al zvamis torasi asher nasati lefnehem lo shamu bekoli lo hochu ba. So Kadosh Baruch Hu will answer the question, why did this happen? By saying, because you've forsaken my Torah, which I set before you, you have not hearkened to my voice, neither have you walked therein. So the Gemara darshans and says, well, what's going on here? It sounds like three different ways of saying the same thing. Azvamis torasi, lo shamu b'koli v'lo halchu ba. You didn't hear me, you didn't listen to me, you didn't walk in the ways of the Torah. Says the Gemara, they asked this to the Chachamim, they asked this to the Nevi'im, and no one was able to answer the question. At Shir Pirusha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmah, the Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered the question and said, the Azmas Torasi, so what's the difference between Azmas Torasi and lo shamu b'koli? I'm reviewing a Merav, Shem Avartim B'Torah Tchila. Yes. Sometimes you could be going in the ways of the Torah. Sometimes you could be listening to the words of the Torah. But if you're not saying Birkas HaTorah, there's still something that is deficient. So the Ran, on this Gemara, says an unbelievable thing. The Ran says, from the fact that it says, Vayom HaShem HaZomas Torasi, you see, they have to ask the Nevi'im, they have to ask the Chachamim. It wasn't obvious. It wasn't obvious why this was happening. Sometimes something's going on in the generation and everyone's aware of it. If no one's learning Torah, it's obvious. Okay, people are doing the wrong thing, not learning Torah. They're not listening to the mitzvot, they're not listening to the word of God. This is obvious what they're doing wrong. But this wasn't obvious. The Pasuk says that Kadosh Baruch Hu himself had to come and say what was going on. So the Gemara says, they asked Nevi'im, they asked the Chachamim, and it wasn't clear, it wasn't apparent. On the surface, everything seemed to be normal, everything seemed to be okay. People are learning Torah, people are doing mitzvot. Says the Ran, you see from here that there was a lot of Limud HaTorah going on. He quotes from Rabbi Yonah, who says, "Ashalav baruch b'torah tchila of the Oretz, if it was really for Ozom as Torasi kepashta mashma, if they left the Torah, if they had forsaken the Torah, lohi oskim ba kishenishal chacham neviim lama lo pirshua." It would be obvious. You ask a navi, "Hey, why is this happening?" He'll say, "It's pashit. There's no one in the base manager is empty." Ask a navi, "What's going on?" "It's pashit. You're not doing mitzvahs." But that wasn't the case. Doing mitzvahs, learning Torah, halo dover goli hoya. No, that generation was learning Torah. Tamid, all the time. They couldn't answer this question. What happened? Kadosh Baruch Hu appreciates what's going on in the heart of hearts of every person. They didn't say brachos before learning Torah. Now, if we stop there, it sounds very simple. They didn't say Berakas HaTorah. All right, we still have to scratch our heads and say, what's so bad about not saying Berakas HaTorah? We lost Yerushalayim, we lost the Mikdash because of that. Kilomar, says the Ram. Kilomar, that is to say, Shlohisa Torah Chashuv Beinayim Kokah, Shei Rotli Levari Chalim. They didn't view the Torah as something that was significant enough or important enough to demand a bracha. Now that could be understood to mean that they actually said Berakas HaTorah, but something about it was unappreciated. They didn't view it as something that deserved a bracha, that demanded a bracha. There was a lacking in the Limud HaTorah. There was a lacking of appreciation of Limud HaTorah, even though they were very busy with it. They were learning Talmud. But there was a lacking in the Lishma. They were mezalzel in the bracha. So again, from the Gemara, it sounds like they didn't say the bracha at all, which could very well be the intent. But when the Ran repeats what happened, he says they were mezalzel, they didn't treat it properly. Could even be that they said the Berakas HaTorah, but there was something that indicated a lack of appreciation, a lack of chashivas in their mind that would demand a bracha. Umitoch kach hayu mezalzel beberkasa v'hainu lohochu ba kolomer bekavana ulishma. So what does it mean? Lohochu ba? They did it, yes, they listened, they did it, but lohochu ba lishma. So here's our first introduction to the discussion for today of this notion of lishma. Doing it, yes, but not doing it for the right reason, not doing it with the right intent, somehow deficient. That's the Gemara, and that's the Ran on the Gemara. But just in case we're not convinced that this is the proper understanding of the Gemara, in the Halachos of Birkas HaTorah, Rav Yol Sirkis writes an unbelievable thing. He writes the following. He says, what's the intent of this Gemara? The Torah writes that Birkas HaTorah is very important. You have to take Birkas HaTorah very seriously. So the Beis Yosef and the Bach, they try to explain, what does it mean? You have to be very careful about Birkas HaTorah. So the Bach writes with the following lashon. He says, Shakarish Baruch Hu is makbid alom de Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu sets a high standard, as it were, for Lomdei Torah. Afilu oskim batuva, even if you learn a lot. In einan zehirin levarich b'Torah tchila. You're taken to task if you don't make Berakas HaTorah. No, again, he goes through the whole Gemara. What does that mean? They weren't saying Berakas HaTorah, weren't they learning? Yes. Kavanos Yisbarach me'olam ha'isa shiniya oskim b'Torah. Says this was the Ratzon Hashem, if you will. This was the Kavanah of Kadosh Baruch Hu, that people would be learning Torah, kedei shetitatzeim nishmasenu ba'atzmos v'ruchnius v'kedushas makor motzei haTorah. Now, if we didn't know better, we'd say, maybe who's writing this? Some Kabbalist? Some Chassidish Rebbe? This is the Bach. The Bach is saying that this is part of Limud HaTorah, that this is the way it was intended to be, that a person's supposed to look at the Torah, be involved in Limud HaTorah, and kedei shetitatzeim nishmasenu ba'atzmos v'ruchnius v'kedushas mekor motzei haTorah, to somehow connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu toras emes liYisrael b'matana, was given to us as a gift, shel tistachek mi'itanu k'dei shetistabek nishmasenu v'guf haseinu. He goes on here with very flowery language. I'll skip a little bit for the week of heart, but he goes on here, it's kedai to take a look at some of the lashon that he uses here, and he says that really, if things would go the way they were intended to be, people would be osik b'Torah with the proper kavana. It would be a merkava and a heichal for the Shechina. Shehaisa Ashkina Mamash Bekirbam. That somehow we would be a repository for the Kvod Shemayim, a repository for the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki Hechal Hashem Hema Ubekirbasa Mamash Haisa Ashkina Kovaas Diraso Vaaretz Kuba Haisa Meira Mikvodo. That the land, Eretz Yisrael, which was intended to be the place of the Mikdash, which intended to be the place, the seat of Avodas Hashem. So, if things worked out in that way, that everything was in line with the way it was intended to be, the land would reflect a certain Kedusha. The land would reflect the fact that people are learning and have a proper understanding. And once that wasn't the case, and people didn't say Berakas HaTorah, or didn't treat Berakas HaTorah properly, relate to it properly, then the land was nothing but another physical place, he says, and therefore, going back to the Gemara and Dharm, it was laid to desolation, it was laid in ruins, because it didn't reach its intended goal because of the way Klal Yisrael during that generation related to Berakas HaTorah. Mirach HaShulchan also, in discussing Berakas HaTorah, says the same thing. Here he uses the Lashon of Lashma, says that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is different than other mitzvahs. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is something that he says that involves the moach, involves the mind, and involves the lev. Other mitzvahs, person picks up a lulav, shakes a lulav, person eats matzah, he does what he's supposed to do, she does what she has to do, and the mitzvah is essentially done. But Talmud Torah, he says, Makor b'lev, b'moach, v'im lo yovin mashalom, the person doesn't really appreciate what he's learning or what she's learning, ein limudo klo. Doesn't have great value, has no value. V'im kavanaso shol l'shma, and if his intent is shol l'shma, ein limudo klo, it's nothing, again. And therefore, he goes on to explain, that's why we have Berakas HaTorah, and that's why we have multiple Berakas HaTorah. So just to review, we have this Gemara Nedarim that says one of the reasons why Chachma doesn't always flow from one generation to the next is because of the behavior of the previous generation. In this context specifically, the answer we focused on is the answer that was given regarding Berakas HaTorah, that those that don't say Berakas HaTorah don't demonstrate a chashivas for Torah for the next generation. And the Ran says that what this meant was that there was a lack of understanding the proper concept of Lishma, something that was reiterated by the Bach and then again by the Aruch HaShulchan in discussing Berakas HaTorah L'maisa. So what's Lishma? What is Lishma? We see that not learning Lishma is bad, learning Lishma is obviously a good thing. What is Lishma? So there are, that I'm able to identify, four approaches to Lishma. In the interest of intellectual honesty, I'm going to mention four of them. I'm only going to focus on two. The first two, I think, are a little bit more difficult to find rooted in the Rishonim. But because they're mentioned, we're going to discuss them just in passing. So the Nefesh HaChayim, which was written by Rav Chaim Volozhin, one of the closest Talmidim to the Gra, in Shar Dala, discusses at great length this notion of Lishma. And it's not a secret that a good part of the Nefesh HaChayim was focused on debunking things that were held by the Hasidim. Now, he never really openly says or makes it clear that he's talking about the Hasidim, but anyone who's familiar with what was going on in that time and understands some of the talking points sees that he's taking liberties and trying to convince people that the notions that were commonly held by the Hasidim were wrong. Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't have ideas which seem to be Kabbalistic themselves, but certainly the ideas that were commonly held by the Hasidim were ideas that he rejected. So I'm talking about Lishma, the first idea. Yes?
But
that's what the Gemara says. That's what the Ran says. That's a good question. I mean, how do you define Talmud Chacham? That Talmud Chacham could be someone who has a lot of knowledge. Talmud Chacham could be someone who is otherwise familiar with the dictates of the Torah, but is lacking. So, if you take issue with the term Talmud Chacham, that's a good question. It's a good question. Maybe you'll say he's not really a Talmud Chacham, because if he would be, that he wouldn't be lacking in this regard. I once was once speaking to a Rav, he's a very learned fellow, and he was talking about someone in particular. I said, "Oh, the guy's a big lamed, he's a serious one." I don't know, there's something about him, it's like an ill-fitting suit, he told me. I looked at him and said, what do you mean? He said, well, he said, he's the kind of guy that he walks into a room, he expects to be asked to speak. Right? So I thought it was a good daher. He was saying, yeah, he knows a lot. He knows a lot, but that doesn't mean that he's necessarily perfected. Doesn't necessarily mean that he's a refined character. So yes, sometimes you have people that are learned, but they don't otherwise have perfected midas. So that's apparently who we're talking about. Someone who's missing the boat in some regard. So back to the Nefesh HaChayim. Nefesh HaChayim Shar Dalet, in Perek Beis, he introduces this idea of Lishma, and he first says that there are those who say Lishma is for Dveikus. For Dveikus. Now, what that seems to mean is that the very act of learning itself is somehow a way of clinging to the Almighty, somehow getting close to the Almighty, and that's it. That's the whole purpose of the Limud. It's an exercise in getting close to that Kadosh Baruch Hu. So while a person is involved in learning, he is de facto, or she is de facto, involved in Dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he explains why that can't possibly be. He says, if that was the whole purpose of Limud HaTorah, then you would just need one tract. You could have one Masechta, one Mishnah, and you could just say it over and over again. If that's the whole purpose of Dveikus, why do you need all kinds of varied areas of Limud? It can't just be that it's for Dveikus. And he says, moreover, if it's for Dveikus, you wouldn't have to know all kinds of things that might be unpleasant. Why do you have to know things that are physical, which are part of the Torah? Why do you have to know things which deal with how to check out Edim and how to see if someone's lying? That doesn't seem like the kind of thing that you'd want to do if you want to be close to God, to be a Dovik by Kadosh Baruch Hu. You need to know all kinds of unpleasant things. He says it's not likely that it means that it's not for Dveikus. So what he presents as his model for Lishma is difficult, but he says Lishma is L'shem HaTorah. Just for the sake of learning Torah. Why should you learn Torah? To learn Torah. And that's what he proposes in a number of prakim. It's very difficult. And the only right that he has for it from the Rishonim that I'm aware of is from a Rush. And the truth is, one could question his reading of the Rush. Far be it from me to question his reading of the Rush, but if you look at it yourselves, you'll see that if you compare this Rush to what the Rush writes elsewhere, it seems that it's not necessarily have to be read that way. It doesn't have to be read that way. So those are the two that we're not really going to spend time with. One is for Dveikus, which he himself dismisses. The other is you should learn Torah simply for the sake of Torah, Lishma. When we say Lishma, it means L'shem Shelah, for its sake. So it's not unreasonable to say learn Torah for Torah's sake is what we mean when we say Lishma. Learn Torah Lishma, L'shem Shelah, L'shem Shel Torah. That's what he understands is the meaning of Lishma. But when one looks at the Rishonim, one sees, to my mind, two basic theories, which are at some point similar, in terms of understanding what is Lishma. So the Gemara in Masachas Brachos and Daf Yudzayin Amud Aleph says, famously, Ha'osa Shel Lishma, if someone will learn Shel Lishma, Noach Lo Shelo Nivra. He would have been better off not being born. Again, we could discuss what that means. Why is it better? You say mitoch shel lishma bal lishma. That's a conversation perhaps for another time. But if nothing else, you see that the Gemara is indicating a certain distaste for learning shel lishma. But what's shel lishma? What is it? So Rashi there says, Pirush she'enu lomed kedei lakayim elokante. Someone approached Limud HaTorah not as a way of knowing what to do, not as a way of knowing what is the Ratzon Hashem, but instead, we'll learn Torah just to, you'll pardon the term, to break someone else down. Right? To try to give someone else a hard time. Lakanter, just to be divisive. What's that? Adversarial. Did I say? Adversarial. Right? To be divisive. Just to be able to show someone else why they're making a mistake. That's not the proper way to relate to Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't give us the Torah so that we could make ourselves a balabas over someone else. Okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, Rashi saying, so we could see, what's his ratzon? How should we act? How should we behave? That's Lishma. Lomei kedei l'kai. Doing it for a different reason? That's lo lishma. Unless we think it's only Rashi, when the Rosh in Pesachim comments on that same Gemara, essentially says the same thing, and this is why I am a little bit uncomfortable with the Nefesh HaChaim's reading of the Rosh in the Darim, because the Rosh here in Pesachim says essentially the same thing. He says, When we learn in brachos called osik v'tor shel lishma, it's better to have not been born. He says, what does that mean? Shalomed lehisyaher ulispaer ulekanter chavero ulekapchom v'halachos ve'ein lomed almanas lasos. What's Lishma? Learning Lamanas Latzos. You want to know what to do. What's the Ratzon Hashem? How am I supposed to behave? That's Lishma. What's Shlo Lishma? You want to try to make yourself a big shot, Lis Yahir, Lis Pahir. You want to make yourself stand out. You want to be, he says, to beat someone else over the head with halacha. So again, like to show other people that you know better. That's not the purpose of Limud HaTorah. Not the purpose of Limud HaTorah to try to show someone else what you know better than what he does. The purpose of Limud HaTorah is to know, says the Rosh, Amanas Lasos. That's a far cry from learning for the sake of learning. Like Limud Lishma, L'shem Shel Torah. The way the Nefesh HaChaim wants it. Okay, so this is one Mahalach. One Mahalach in Lishma means I'm supposed to sit down when it's time to learn. I'm supposed to sit down and learn. Why? Because we want to know, what is the Ratzon Hashem? How are we supposed to fulfill the will of God in this world? There is a, in the same regard, there's a Radak, a nice Radak, in Sefer Yirmiyahu, another one of the less positive Nevuos. This is Perek Beis. Pasuk says that Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "I'll bring you to the land of Yisem, El Eretz Hakarmel, Lechol Piryoch V'Tuva, V'Tavo V'Titamu Asarzi V'Nachlasi Samtem L'Soeva." I brought you to the land to do good, to enjoy the bounty of the land. What did you do? You defiled it, made it into an abomination. And the Kohanim lo omraye Adonai v'telseav Torah lo yadouni v'haroim pashubi v'neviim nibu babal v'acharei lo yoilu halacha. The Kohanim, the priest, didn't say, "Where is God?" Those that tofsei haTorah, those that grab onto Torah, didn't know me. The shepherds sinned. Prophets didn't prophesy in my name. They prophesied in the name of gods that were of no moment. So the Radak says, who are these people that are being taken to task? Nevi'im, we know who Nevi'im are. We know who Kohanim are. So who are the Tofsei Torah? So Radak says, Tofsei Torah, Hema Chachamim, Lomdei HaTorah. Right? So you could have people that are called Lomdei Torah. They could know Torah. They're called Chachamim. Lo Yida'uni, Shelo Lomdei HaTorah Lishma. Sounds again like you could have someone who knows, someone who's learning, but he's not learning Shema. What's Lishma? L'kayi mashakasaba. They weren't learning to know how to act. El lomdim bapeh, v'leiv, v'leiv zehu lo yida'uni. They were just learning by rote. Ki ha-makshava ha-tova ha-maitzim ha-tova hu-daita lo halim u-dlevad. If you're not doing it to know how to act, and you're not doing it to put it into practice, that's missing the mark. That's not Lishma. So again, we're told that there's something very bad about learning Lishma. There's something that is required of us that we're not acquiring. We're not reaching the level that we're supposed to. What is Lishma? So now we have three possibilities. Either means Dveikus. Simply, you should learn for the sake of Dveikus. Nefesh HaChaim rejected that. Maybe it means L'shem Torah. You should learn Torah so that you know Torah by itself in a vacuum. That doesn't seem to be supported by the Rishonim. And then we have the first Lima, the first school of thought in the Rishonim, that it's learning for the sake of knowing what to do. Yes?
So just according to this group of Rishonim, so what about like areas of Torah that are not practical? You don't like Tumah Tahara nowadays. So are they going to say that a person is learning that, you can't be learning it as well?
I think every aspect of Torah has some takeaway from it, even though on its surface it maybe seems not L'maisa B'zman Zeh. There are always rules and principles that will help a person know how to act, know how to behave, even if you're talking about some kachin.
Yeah, I just say abstract space into an hour kachin. If you're doing that, you
still get the Ratzon Hashem. I understand what you're asking. And in that moment, you're right, you're not going to be able to fulfill it right now. But if someone asks you, what is the Ratzon Hashem in this area, you're still learning for the sake of knowing what is the Ratzon Hashem. And maybe I can't practice today because I don't have a mikdash. I don't think it means every time you sit down, you have to sit down with the intent of saying, "Hey, I need to do something right now. Let me act. Let me sit down and learn so I know how to act." But in abstract, in globally, you're looking at it from the perspective of, "Okay, what is the Ratzon Hashem?" Yes, it could be karbanos. What's the Ratzon Hashem when it comes to this karban? What's the karban I'm supposed to have? What's that's still part of the Ratzon Hashem. That's still part of how they're supposed to act.
Not in order to be a kind for you to fulfill it.
Not in that moment. No, right. Not in that moment. That's also true. Yeah, maybe that's true. That's very messianic.
That's why.
Right?
That's why in order to do this, we have to be learning because I'm hoping she has to come now and I can be able to put these.
That's one way, one could look at it that way. That's like I said, that's very optimistic. But the other way of looking at it is that's
still. I'm not hoping to be maybe a little bit more.
No, I'm not saying that.
Okay, so
you're asking what do they mean when they say that the Shema means Kedei L'Kayim?
Yeah, that's something to be brought in.
So what I'm saying is Kedei L'Kayim doesn't necessarily mean you have to figure out how you're going to put this thing into practice for yourself. But you want to know Kedei L'Kayim, how is the Torah supposed to be fulfilled in this world? How is the Ratzon Hashem supposed to be seen through? That's Kedei L'Kayim. Doesn't mean everything that you specifically, right? If that would be true, that you wouldn't learn anything that pertains to women, nothing that pertains to Kahan, nothing that pertains to Leviyim, nothing that pertains to the Mikdash. Obviously, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be able to translate your learning into your deed right now. But you want to know what is the will of God? How does God envision the Torah being acted out, if you will, in this world? That's Kedei L'Kayim. That's what I think. Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna get to that. I'm not sure what you mean when you say that. I think I know what you mean. You're asking why did it have to be written the way it was written?
Why need the Gemara? I mean, these five machlokes and no one else go to the Bali book of it, which is the same machlokes.
Okay, there certainly is learning superficially, and then there's learning more in depth. Right, the more in depth you learn, the more you appreciate the Kedei L'Kayim. We're not just saying that the only value is knowing what the end rule is. Right, the more you know about a sugya, the more you know about an area, the greater your appreciation of the Kedei L'Kayim is. That doesn't take away from the lishma. But I do want to get back to that in a moment. I think you're asking maybe even something else. Yes.
It's not that you have to, it doesn't have to be practical, but it's that it shouldn't be looking at it as an abstract system, it should be like you should be thinking about it as a system of things to do, of things to do with the Lost Hashem.
Right, that's correct. That's the way I understand it.
What about the old Sikur of the Avos, the creation of the
Torah? I'm sorry?
Well, the Sikur of the Avos, the creation of the Torah, where does that go into this?
I would say that's the same thing. The Torah doesn't include every story that happened to every one of the Avos, right? There's specific stories that are included. One second, for us to take away lessons, to take away messages. Why is that going on? To teach you midos, to teach you how to act. That's part. I mean, you're asking me the question, I'm trying to fit it back into what Kedei L'Kayim means. But I think that's part of Kedei L'Kayim.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's part of Kedei L'Kayim.
Right, yeah, yeah.
What are you supposed to do in this world so that you fulfill the Ratzon Hashem? Well, sometimes it means doing things that are spelled out in Gemara. Sometimes it might be walking in the steps of the Avos as detailed in the Torah. But I think that's still part of Kedei L'Kayim.
Certainly to learn about the Avos and then say, but I don't have to do any of your work. I don't have to emulate them. It's not
Shema. Right, that would not be the Shema. Right. Right. Okay? Alright. No, I'm happy to take questions. I don't have all the answers, but I'm happy to take questions. So now we've identified three schools of thought. The fourth, we'll call the fourth school of thought, it's probably the one that's most familiar here, is the Rambam. And the Rambam appears to express this idea probably three different times. Most famously in Hilchos Tshuva, the very end of Hilchos Tshuva, in the 10th parak, the Rambam writes, what's that?
That's obvious.
Okay, I have. See, that's why I don't want to sit on the table. See, everybody sees what's going on. So the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Tshuva that the Avos Hashem, one's love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is essentially commensurate with his knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't love something that you don't know. And we're charged to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a mitzvah. So Ram says, Amr Chachamim, this is Perek Yud Halacha Dalet, Amr Chachamim HaRishonim, Shema Toma Harini Lama Torah B'Shvil She'eye Ashir. Maybe I'll learn Torah, I'll figure out how to become an Ashir. B'Shvil She'ekra Rebbe, maybe I'll get some kavod. Going to Chinuch. B'Shvil She'ekabel Star B'Olam Haba. Maybe I'll get a nice lot in the world to come. So that's not the right perspective to have. Tamalomar la'avos Hashem. No, you're supposed to learn so you can grow closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sha'atam osem lo tasu elameyavo. That which you fulfill should be for the sake of loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'od amr chachamim b'mitzolsov chafetz me'od b'mitzolsov v'lo b'schar mitzolsov. The Rambam goes on. Per halacha yud. Kol ha'osek b'torah. You learn Torah k'dei l'kabel schar. O k'dei sh'lo tagia. If you're trying to avoid bad, you're trying to get good, that's not really Shema. What's Lishma? Kolosik ba lo liyira v'lo kabel star, el ne avas adon kol ha'aret shetzivabo, hareza osik ba lishma. When you're doing it because you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you want to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Lishma. The more you know, the more you appreciate, the more you can fulfill this mandate of Avas Hashem. The Rambam repeats this, well known in the Sefer Mitzvos, in the this one, in the Sefer Mitzvos, in Asi Gimel. Same idea. He shetivanu la'ahava yisala v'zeshen izbonu v'naske v'metzosa pulosav atshan asigehu v'nis'aneg basagaso tachos ha'tainug zosi ha'ava ha'mechuyavis. And he goes on to quote the Sifrei, which we'll come back to in a minute, as it says, ve'ahavtos Hashem alkecha. I don't know how to be mekayim this, how you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how you mekayim the mandate to be oev v'makom tamal omar v'ayu advor me'il asher nochi mitzav chayom al omrecha. You want to know how to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You have to look at the Ratzon of the Borei Olam. You have to look at what the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. So when you know what the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when you know the Chachma Hashem, then you'll be able to love Him. How could you love something that you don't know? Anyone is in a relationship. You can't love someone that you don't know, that you don't have a relationship with. The Rambam repeats this a third time. On the well-known Mishnah at the end of Maseches Makos, Mishnah Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha Omer, Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zakos Es Yisrael. So the Rambam says, "It's Miikri Ha'amuna B'Torah Ki Kishikayim Adam Mitzvah Mitayg Mitzvos Keroi Kogen Lo Yishati Tima Kavana Mikavana Sa'olam B'Shumponim Ela Shiyase Oso L'Shma Me'ah." Person does mitzvahs, person learns Torah, shouldn't do it for any other reason, shouldn't do it to avoid the bad, or to get to the good, or to get Olam Haba, to get Sar, or to get Kavod, you should do it Lashma, you should do it Me'ava, Lashma. So just to review, we have four schools of thought, and what is Lashma? One is Devekus, seems to be the school of the Hasidim, which the Nefesh HaChaim rejects. His big Kiddush, which was Lashma, L'shem Torah, and then the two that seem to be those that flow through the Rishonim, one, Kedei L'Kayim, broader interpretation of Kedei L'Kayim, and the Rambam's approach for Avas Hashem should be to further our Avas Hashem. And the truth is, as we saw, that this is something that already appears in the Medrash, and it's something that the Rosh Hashiva had written about many years ago in an essay that was entitled Why Should One Learn Torah? And the large part of the essay dealt with this Medrash, with the Sifrei, and the Rambam. Just to see the Sifrei inside, the Sifrei quotes the same pasuk again, and says, since you say, V'aftos Hashem al-kecha b'chol l'vavacha, in yodeya be'ezat tzad ovim, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Tam alomar, sadvar me'ila, shanokhi mitzadcha hayom ala vavacha, hadvar me'ila, shemitoch kach, atamakir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, umidabek b'drachu. If you're learning the Torah, you could fill this mandate, this charge, to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you'll know who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You'll know what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you. So I want to just quote a little bit from Shiva's article, and he writes, it's towards the end of the article, why should one study Torah? Because it's only through Torah that one can fulfill the one commandment that is the goal of the entire Torah, the love of God. Why should one study Torah? Because the study brings man close to the source of all reality, the creator of the universe. Why should one study Torah? Because through the study of Torah, man attains the highest possible state of human existence, the very purpose for which he was created. This is essentially what we saw in the Rambam. This is based on the Sifrei and the Rambam, that this is the way that man fulfills this mitzvah, this fiyah, this obligation, man with a capital M, I'm talking to the women as well, this is the way we fulfill our tzivoy of Avos Hashem, by seeing the Dvar Hashem, by plumbing the depths of the Dvar Hashem, come to appreciate who is, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the way you get closer, and that's the way you come to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what about the other aspect of Limud HaTorah? We all are familiar with the other aspect of Limud HaTorah, the other part of Limud HaTorah, the Hainu, the enjoyment factor. The fact that it appeals to a certain part of man that he finds great satisfaction, or a woman finds great satisfaction in, when they're involved in learning. So, what about that? Where does that fit in? And is that primary, or maybe that's secondary? So she addressed that as well in the article, and in the written version, it's addendum 1. And there he writes, in study of Torah, one's engagement comprehends in God's ideas. As such, they must be aesthetically appealing. Involved in Limud HaTorah, this is the Ratzon Hashem, this is the Devar Hashem. So Devar Hashem, when you're studying it, of course, it has to be something that is beautiful, something that is appealing. Because the study of the Talmud is the study of God's thoughts, it has an epistemological value. That's in the article. So, what role does that play? Is that the main reason? Do we learn Torah because of that? Or is that the way Torah is engineered to make it something that's enjoyable? Is it made enjoyable so that we could be involved in it, so that we could find satisfaction in it? But that's not really the purpose. So it seems to me that's the case. In other words, nowhere do we see learn Lishma because it's enjoyable. No one said learn Lishma because it's fun. No one said learn Lishma because you'll find satisfaction in solving some type of problem. Learn Lishma k'day l'kai, and learn Lishma k'day to grow closer in Avos Hashem. How is Torah written? How is Torah presented? Why is it that we have to study more than just studying rules? Because that's meant to engage our seichel, that's meant to engage our tzelem elokim, so that a person will do it more. So that a person will say, "This is beautiful. And now I'm thirsty for the word of God. I want to do it more." But I think there's a clear difference between saying that's the case. In other words, it is true that Torah is written in a way. It is true that Torah has that component, and it's true that we should relate to it that way. Which is true. We should relate to it as something that's enjoyable. But what's the enjoyment? Where is the enjoyment from? Is the enjoyment from just because it's fun? Is the enjoyment just because I solved the puzzle, I solved the mystery? Or is it because now I understand what the Ratzon Hashem is? Now I know Kedei L'Kayim. Or now I'm closer in understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there is a very nice Rav Avraham Minahar. It's one of the few Masechtas which we have printed, Chidushim from Rav Avraham Minahar, Masechtas Nedarim. The Gemara in the Mishnah says that if a person will make a neder, muder hana from his friend, so I vow that I'm not going to be neder from you. So the Mishnah says he can't even use his svarim. Can't use his svarim. All the Rishonim want to know, how is that possible? Why does that make sense? We have a rule, mitzvos lav lehinos netnu. Mitzvos are not for hana, so it's true. I can't use a lawnmower, I can't use a wheelbarrow, I can't maybe take food from your house because I made a neder that I'm not going to be neder from you. Well, why can't I use your svarim? I'm going to learn from them. I'm not going to be nana. This is a beautiful insight that he has. Other Rishonim have a different approach. Some actually go as far as amending the Lashon of the Mishnah because they can't contemplate that this would be true, that you'd be mudar enough from someone you couldn't use a svarim. But Rav Minahar says the following. He says, the reason why this is true is because when we say mitzvot lav lehinas nenu, that's regular mitzvot. That's other mitzvot. You pick up a lulav, you eat matzah, you're doing that Because that's the Dvar Hashem, that's the Ratzon Hashem. You do it because that's what you have to do. You're not doing it to be nene from it. It might be enjoyable, but your primary purpose in doing it is to do the Ratzon Hashem. Aval mitzvah limud shehu inyan seer halev the diasa emes. He says Torah learning is different. There is an inextricable component of Torah learning which is hanah based. But what is it? It's not pure physical hanah. It's not just that it's fun. It's not just that it's enjoyable in the general sense of the term. He says, you know why there's hanah that you can't extract from limud Torah? And you know why when you make a neder and you say, I'm not going to be nenah from you, you can't even use someone safer? Because ikrat tzivli is kedei letzayir ha-emes ulis'anig lehenos b'mada v'sameach levavo l'sikhla. You know why a person's happy? You know why a person gets hanah from learning? Because now you got one step closer to understanding what he's supposed to understand or what she's supposed to understand. You're mis'aneh in the fact that you're closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you have a deeper sense of Avas Hashem. You have a deeper understanding, a deeper hakara of what it is that we're supposed to be doing here. Not just that I figured it out. Yes, you figured it out, but you figured out what? You figured out where you're heading. What are you supposed to be doing? L'tzayir ha-emes. To get to the truth, uvis'ani glenos b'mada l'sameach l'vavo v'sichlo. As it says, b'kudei Hashem yisharim yisam t'leib. That's the very reason why an ovel is not allowed to learn Torah, is because it's enjoyable. Not because it's enjoyable in the same way that a puzzle is enjoyable, or some other discipline is enjoyable because it appeals to certain aspects of your mind, but because this is innately, inherently enjoyable when someone figures out what's expected, how to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem. And in the same vein, there's a very nice Magen Mishnah at the end of the Hilchos Lulav. Magen Mishnah says, the Rambam says about Simchas Beis HaShoeva, it's really Chazal, but the Rambam records that whoever didn't see Simchas Beis HaShoeva in their life, they never saw a true Simcha. The Rambam details the whole episode, what went on during the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. And then the Magen Mishnah writes as follows. What kind of simcha are we talking about over here? Iker hadavar hu she'in roi lo la'odam lasos a mitzvah mitzad she'in chol olam. A person shouldn't do mitzvahs and feel, I'm doing mitzvahs because I don't have a choice, I have to do it. It's a burden. Hu mukrach v'omam v'onos v'asiyosam el chayi lasosam v'usameach v'asiyosam. A person should be happy to do mitzvahs. Why should you be happy? What's so enjoyable about doing mitzvahs? Yasa told me tachito because he or she appreciates that I'm doing what's best. Well, why is it best? Oh, because this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world. This doing this thing is what's best for me. The yivchar ha'emes mitzachu emes v'yakov be'enav tarchon v'yovin kilakaf notzar. This is why you're put here to do this. L'shamesh atkonom k'sho osa ma'ashim nivra b'shvilo. Now you're doing the thing that you intended to do. That brings you great happiness. Yismach v'yogil l'fi she'simcha shar dvorim tuliyim b'dvorim b'teilim. Other things that make a person happy, they're contingent on fleeting things, nonsensical things, things that pass, things that are ephemeral, but not things that are eternal. Shar dvorim tuliyim b'dvorim b'teilim she'inon kayomim. Av ha'simcha ba'asiyas ha'mitzvah u'b'lamidas ha'torah v'chachma hi ha'simcha ha'mitzvah. That's the true simcha. The true symptom is coming from the fact that you understand that this is something that is emes, that this is something that has kiyum, that this is something that is everlasting. This is unlike anything else. So when we talk about simcha, we talk about enjoyment, when we talk about hanah from learning, it's not, we don't learn for that reason. That's an experience that we have when we're learning. We understand that this is what we're supposed to do. We understand that this is the best thing for us. So when experiencing that, we walk away with a sense of enjoyment. But I think that to say that one is learning because it's enjoyable, that's not what we mean when we say Lashma. That's not Lashma. That's not, it's not even Dveikus, it's not even Lashem Torah, it's not, certainly not Kedei L'Kayim, and it's not for Avas Hashem. That's something else. That's not to say that one should ever, Chas V'Shalom, think that learning is not enjoyable. And we shouldn't say that, in fact, The Egle Tal in the Tavdoma writes that there are those who think that learning should not be enjoyable. He says there are those who think learning should not be enjoyable, and he says that's very wrong. He says it's an obligation to feel that learning is enjoyable. But that doesn't mean that that is the reason for learning. Learning is enjoyable. Where does the enjoyment come from?
Enjoyment comes from knowing that you're studying the most important thing, that you're understanding the truth, and that you're growing closer to the Borei Olam. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created learning, he knew it was enjoyable.
Of course. Okay. Of course.
So if that's the case, how can you really theoretically separate the two and say that we can't learn because it's enjoyable if we want to do the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That was the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to make it enjoyable as an activity, inherently enjoyable.
I'm not sure I understand, but let's say a person...
I'm asking you, how can you separate the enjoyment from the activity? They're
okay.
Together.
Someone might find eating an apple enjoyable. They might find certain foods enjoyable. Right? But they don't eat because it's enjoyable. They're eating because if they don't eat, they're going to die. They need to sustain themselves. Yes, the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that created the food created it to be enjoyable. Why? That's part of the Matnas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You made it enjoyable, but you're doing the very thing that you need to do to live. If you don't do that, so would you say those are separable?
No.
But are you doing because...
I would say that, actually. I disagree with you.
You disagree with me?
Yeah, I think if God knew that the apples were enjoyable, and he wanted us to enjoy it together with...
Of course.
Kiyum of Nefesh together.
I understand, but is that the primary reason for eating the apple?
Well, the primary reason is to do the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch
Hu. I think that's... Little sophistry. Why are you eating the apple? What's the primary reason for eating the apple? Why do you eat food? You don't eat food for no other reason than to stay alive, to sustain yourself. Yes, the same Borei Olam that created the food made it enjoyable so man can enjoy it. But you don't do it because it's enjoyable. I don't think that's honest.
So why do you
make
it enjoyable?
That's amazing.
All I have to do is learn how to do the thing in order that I need to do it. Whether I enjoy it or not, it's really irrelevant. Why do I make it enjoyable?
I think the fact that it's enjoyable makes people want to do it more, makes people more involved in it, makes it more inviting. What's wrong with that? Yeah, but I don't understand, why is that a problem? I'm not sure I understand what bothers you. Yes, I think about it.
Yes. Just on this thought, I'm not sure I have perfect understanding, but like the Haravna seems to be some kind of transition between the Haravna and Lo Desar Ba Lishma.
Good.
Yeah, it's not exactly the same thing, but there is some kind of time between the two.
We were praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it should be enjoyable.
Right, and that it should be Lishma. Right.
I'm not, at which point are you speaking to? You're trying to show that the enjoyment factor could be separate from... Separate, okay, that's a very good point. That we must follow that it be sweet, that it be enjoyable, and at the same time we acknowledge that there's a separate concept called Lishma. Right. I hope you didn't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that... But it's not enjoyable. And I'm not saying we shouldn't approach it saying it's enjoyable. We should not tell people do what it's enjoyable. But you should not tell people, in my humble opinion, I think it's dangerous and somewhat dishonest to tell people the reason why you should learn it because it's enjoyable. First of all, it's not true. And second of all, there's a tremendous takala that comes from that. What's the takala? You tell people the reason why you should be learning is because it's enjoyable. Today, kids are growing up in a world where there are a lot of things that are enjoyable. And some of them, to some people, might be more enjoyable than learning. So you can tell a guy, no, the reason why you should learn is because learning is the greatest enjoyment. And he says, listen, buddy, you haven't played Xbox. You don't know. I'm telling you this is more enjoyable. Or this Olam Hazeh thing is more enjoyable. So to tell people the reason why you should learn, in addition to being not true, right, in humble opinion, I just think is not a safe approach to take. If you want to raise people to learn and to think learning is important and to understand the value of learning, I think we have to be honest. I think we shouldn't be afraid to use words like Ratzon Hashem and Dvar Hashem and Lashma and tell them that part of the reason why you're learning is because you want to grow closer to the Borei Olam. Yes, doing that is the greatest enjoyment. But you don't do it because it's the greatest enjoyment.
You mean that even if someone doesn't agree at his level that it's the most enjoyable thing, they'll do it anyway?
Of course. Of course.
If you say do it because it's enjoyable, you don't perceive that.
That's right. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal, in a shmuz that he gave to Bachrim and then later was written in a in a publication, a recent publication, he's talking about this idea of kovei itin for Torah. And what's the big deal about kovei itin for Torah? So he said that when you kovei itin for Torah, you understand that it's something that you must do. It's not something that you do when you have time, if you have time. It's not something that you treat like a leisure activity. I enjoy it, so I'm going to do it. I'm not doing anything else. I might as well do that. I mean, that's nice to do. Also, when you have nothing to do, nice to learn. But that's not the way we should be relating to learning. We don't only do it when we have time to buy it. We do it because we understand it's important. So something that a person is koveya, makes it part of his routine, makes it part of his everyday life, shows that the value that he places on it, shows that he appreciates this is something that he can't be without. So basketball is not necessarily like that. You like playing basketball now, but now you're not able to play basketball. That he used that example, by the way, basketball. And you might find basketball enjoyable, but you're not going to be koveya itin for basketball. You'll do it when it's fun, but now you're not in the mood, you want to do something else. But learning can't be like that. Learning has to be something that we understand is innately and inherently important and significant and has to be done. Yeah, of course, there's hanah, there's enjoyment, there's benefit that comes from it. That can't be the reason why we do it. Is there a question over here? Yeah.
So if the guy's on a low level, he's learning, and he wants to do what's going to be close enough, but he's not at the level where it's the greatest enjoyment yet.
Right.
It's still a shema.
I'm sorry, say that again?
It's still a shema.
Is there a question?
Yeah, I'm going to want
to. Sounds like a statement.
More sport.
If what? I mean, if he's doing it for those other reasons.
He's doing it because he wants lishma. Yeah.
Right.
But he's not at the level yet where it's a great enjoyment.
Right. That's the point I was trying to make earlier, that I think those are separate. Right. Yes, counter?
I thought
about it. Yeah. Okay.
I'm here all day. So, ultimately, and you said this, and we all know this, that the entire purpose of the Amishashem.
Right. Point to Rama.
That's all.
Right.
Point to Rama. The best description he gives of how that works is Shi'ifalamal, being drawn towards the Mal.
Okay.
So isn't that inherently an activity? Notice, let's take the emotion of love. Mitzvah to love Hashem. The standard question is, how can we have a mitzvah to love something that's generated from the inside ourselves in a way that we're not really in control of? Even we love something we love.
Right.
After we've been commanded to love Hashem, Where's that going to come from? Where am I going to draw from to make that happen other than natural things? Natural things means that a person does something because he loves it. And being drawn to something because you love it means you gain enjoyment from it. That's the base of psychology, and the best of my knowledge. I've been around here a couple of times, and we only do the things that we do because we will get pleasure from them.
So are you trying to explain why Torah was made as enjoyable as it was? Is that the point you're making?
No, I'm trying to ask again, how are these things inseparable? How can you say if the ultimate purpose is out of Hashem that it's not, that enjoyment is not an inherent feature of that? That's my question.
I'm not sure why you keep saying that. I'm saying it's not inherent. It is. It could be inherent. I'm saying that's not the purpose. I'm saying it's not the purpose, and I continue to say that.
I am not certain I agree with that.
That's clear. You've made that clear.
But
I feel like you have met your burden of proof.
The question is, knowing that it is this way, and having created it this way, right, how is it possible to then say, this was not the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu for us? He only wants us to do it.
Didn't say that either. I didn't.
Not because he enjoyed it. That's not the purpose. It's only because of humanity. That's
my say again? What was the last point?
Because given all that, how can you say that, given that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it and knew that if we do it right, we're going to enjoy it?
Right.
Right, he built enjoyment in for a reason.
Yes,
he
built
like a job now.
Yeah.
He said, just finish what I told you.
Okay.
Right? So how can you then say that that's not its purpose? That the very purpose, I think that what the Rambam is trying to say is the very purpose of learning and Abbas Hashem and Shi'ifa Ramako is because that's the highest level of man. And man was created as a creature of enjoyment, and that's going to be the highest level of, let me change the word, defense.
The benefit. Oh,
question.
The benefit is something a person wants, something a person is drawn to. That's why I changed the benefit, not because it means I'm enjoying it. It's because that very thing is something I want, something I need.
I mean, now it sounds like you're backing away from what you're saying before. It sounds a little bit. No.
on the contrary, I'm trying to merge the two things, that doing it because we are commanded to, and that internally that was also, enjoyment was built in, so that we would enjoy what we're commanded to do. I'm still sticking with that.
Okay. Makes it what? Makes the primary purpose?
Makes it part of the primary purpose.
Maybe you could, just a different question for which might not be related. Is maybe that's, I think I brought up this point, is like a guy who learns is, Agnista, to learn Torah. So you see that he might find it very enjoyable to learn, but if it's not a system which is related to him, to his mice, and then his other social,
not appropriate.
It might be a nice intellectual exercise, but that's not what learning is about.
Right.
So it indicates like there's, learning is tied in with the Torah.
Right, I think that's a good point. Just remind me of my mind of something else. There are people who...
Can I ask you a question about how should it be that if you learn...
It's going to be here for a while. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Aaron pointed out that the person learns, but he doesn't gain the full enjoyment of it. But that's not the fullest extent of the Shema. So I'm answering Rabbi Fidler's question over there that way. But it's true that learning for the sake of the enjoyment and nothing else is wrong. That's of course true. But to say that the Shema, the highest level of the Shema, according to what Aaron said before, also is that it includes the ultimate enjoyment of it. So again, I'm asking, how can we separate these two? Conceptually, we separate them, but as part of the mitzvah of Baal HaShem, how can we separate them?
Can we admit and can we agree upon the fact that there are people who might spend a lot of time learning because they enjoy it, but are not anywhere near where they need to be in terms of Lishma? Because if we can't agree on that, then I there's nothing else that I could say. But, you know, my wife's grandfather will tell you that when he lived in Poland before the war, there were guys that would come to the Beis Medrash on Shabbos smoking because they wanted to know what was going on in the sugya. They liked learning. They weren't the schmuck. They liked it. Liked the hak. Liked to know. Smart guys. They appreciated that this was chachma. That schmuck? It's hard to say that's a Shema. The guy who's Lakanter gets a lot of enjoyment out of it, right? He loves it. He could break the other guy down. He could show him why he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's having a great time. He's enjoying it. Is that a Shema? So it's very hard for me to accept that enjoyment is part of the Shema. When you see in the real world that there are a lot of people who enjoy, there are a lot of people who value it as something intellectual, but are not Lishma. Not Kedei L'Kayim, not for Avas Hashem, not for Dveikus, and not L'Shein Torah. L'His Yoyer, L'His Pyer, L'Kanter, yes. Yes.
Related to that point, those types of stories and like the Gemara and the
Gemara. Yeah. Yeah.
Your father 26 years ago.
Yeah.
Like apparently.
Still my son.
Apparently, like learning.
That's a totally different question. Different question. So Matt Alpin's asking for practical etzo. Practical etzo. That's a very good question. I mean, it's a hard thing for someone else, I think, to teach or to convey to someone else. I think that has to come from within. That has to come from a certain person's own sense of why they're doing things. But hopefully this discussion is the first step at helping in that regard. As if we can now further appreciate that this is perhaps why we're doing what we're doing, and maybe every day we'll stop for a minute or two and think, okay, what am I taking away from you? How is this making me a better Eved Hashem? Yeah, I would say, when you're learning Kachin, granted it's a little bit more difficult, but if someone's learning something, learning the Zikin, learning Bava Basra, learning Dina Bar Mitzvah, and you don't walk away and say, okay, how does this make me a better person in terms of the way I interact with my neighbor, then you're missing an opportunity. But if we look at it and say, okay, this is a sugya, There's a lot of love this year, but at the end of the day, this is also some aspect of living and some aspect of how I'm supposed to be an Eved Hashem. Well, let's think about it in that context a little bit. That would be one simple suggestion. But you're right, when it comes to something that's much more abstract, it would be hard to do that. But I think there too, there's a way to look at it and say, what am I supposed to get from here? How is it supposed to impact me? Tavshin Ayin Tes, how am I supposed to be a different person than I was before I learned about Kemitza, or I learned some other aspect of Kutchin?
Also, the Lishma, why isn't the answer Matt's?
Well, let me ask you, he wants to know how to get out past that. He's asking how to get past the Lishma. Do I agree with what?
Yeah.
The Tosfos and the Bosma? The Gemara says that.
Matt's proposing that
the Lishma will not be the Torah Lishma. So Chazal say, funny Lishma, they say, La'olam yasa adam the Torah Lishma, should be Tosfos and the Lishma. Why do you say La'olam? Why La'olam? La'olam makes it sound like this is forever. You can do this forever. Always, always, always a person should learn Shalosh Shmah, because Shalosh Shmah will give you get you Lishma. I think, you could check, I believe it's the Gra, who explains that La'olam means, on some level, every time you sit down to learn, there is that Shalosh Shmah. There is an element of Shalosh Shmah that people might have when they sit down to learn. And part of the avodah that we have is to get past that. Every time you're learning, there is some Shalosh Shmah. Why are you doing it in that moment? Why this? Why that? Maybe there is a little element of Shalosh Shema, but Le'olam Yasal Gavan B'Torah Shalosh Shema Shemitah Shalosh Shema Shalosh Shema. Yeah, sometimes that's the daily avodah. Sit down. Maybe in that moment you first sat down, you're not coming to the base manish because you're hungry, you're thirsty for the Devar Hashem. Maybe you're coming because you're going to get a knas if you don't come down. That's Shalosh Shema. Okay, but 10 minutes in, now you're here. Now you're doing the right thing. I don't. You know, for every person it could be a little bit different, but I think that's a fair question, and that's part of the challenge.
Well, I just think I can make one statement that I think Robbie and both will agree with.
Okay.
And that is, I think, that someone will never reach the level of the Shema if he doesn't find the quest to Torah knowledge enjoyable. Right, Robbie? I think you can agree with that. Okay, I think you can agree with that. That one will never be able to reach the level of learning Torah the Shema unless
it's going to be a lot harder. I think it'll be harder. I don't know if it's possible.
I think that's Chesed Hashem, that because learning Torah is not in line with human nature. Human nature, man's nature, right, is the ability to think. And that's what, you know, when you're in line with human nature, that will naturally be the happiest activity.
I think that's kind of my point. Thank you.
Okay, but I don't think it's a
picture. No. I understand. Okay, any other comments, questions? A little quiet over here.
Can I ask one more question?
Yeah.
So that will say they're rushing, tomorrow.
Yeah, to the other time.
I don't know what Shema is.
Right.
So they defined what Shema is to the time.
Right.
And Shema is the counter, the destroyer, or...
The shire, or the destroyer.
Now, can I define, what about this case, a person learning... Are you saying that's in the category of
the lowest amount of sleep? Is it only learning
because
it's enjoyable?
Yeah, that's like
the content
of the lowest amount.
If you look in the
box...
Are you asking if it's as bad as that? Like what Pesach is saying, we shouldn't draw that distinction. They strike that distinction, they say... Well, no, there's one category, two categories, but then there's A and B. There's two different levels of Shalosh Shema. Right. Granted that someone's learning Lakanter, or Lispaher, or Lisyaher, that's he's not even on the track to call him Shalosh Shema. That's just bad. But then there's the Shalosh Shema for other reasons that might not be.
Well,
that
could be Shema, so.
Yeah, it's certainly better than not learning at all, of course.
So
it's seen that way. No Shalosh Shema Nivra, that's a pretty strong theme, right? The guy's where? No, it sounds like over there it wasn't. Right, he doesn't say. He says learning b'tmidus. They were learning all day, all the time. No. He doesn't quite say what they did wrong. Yes?
So the people who missed the car smoking.
Yeah. I wasn't there. I don't know. I'm just saying, there's only so much I could say about the story. Yeah.
Is there really no way that they're learning to be Lashmala? Do you need a. Like, what if they're able to separate? they were participation in the system, but it seemed that they were coming because they found the system useful and drawn to the system.
Right. I'm sure that's right. That's the point I was making. I don't think that's a shmuck. I don't think so. No, it's not Kedei L'Kayim. Certainly not Kedei L'Kayim. Oh, you guys learning Sefer Shabbos? I'm saying it's just a funny image, right? Whatever they're doing. I think...
Can they not be two separate things?
I mean, I think this comes back to Robbie's point. I think there are a lot of people out there that prove the point that you could learn just because you enjoy it, and it has no impact on your soul, it has no impact on you as a... What's that? How do I know? If you like playing chess, it'd be like reading. You know, there are people who enjoy science, people enjoy math, there are people who enjoy all kinds of different puzzles or different mysteries, and this is just one other thing that they could be involved in. But yeah, when you're tangentially part of a community that puts a lot of stock in this, so this is the thing where you're going to hang out. This is the place where you want to be. This is where the hawk is. So you want to be there. These are the people that you're friendly with. So you want to talk to them about their sugya. It doesn't impact on you in any way.
I'm just saying,
You want to know, does it somehow creep into their soul and make an impact? I don't know, but at least in the way they act and their approach and their attitude, that's not why they're there.
So part of Lishma has to be keeping law.
Part of it, Kedei L'Kayim. Kedei L'Kayim. I'm not saying that you could be not yet being Mekayim, but if you're learning Kedei L'Kayim, that's still Lishma. Yeah.
Come down to what's real to you. I mean, if you're learning about the Shabbos, you're sitting there smoking. I mean, you're getting it like a fun game.
Right.
There's no reality to it. If you're smoking.
Mm-hmm. Certainly not Lishma. At the very least, not Lishma. Right. No, I'm agreeing with you. That's the point I'm trying to make.
What it comes down to is whether it's real to you or not. Like,
but what does that mean? What do you mean when you say that?
And you just have to say that, but I think it's better, but you're saying is that what you're, how you're relating to it, is it something that's true about the world and life and existence, or a cool thing, you know?
So you just define Ratzon Hashem as reality. Right, okay, no, is that, I just want to make sure we understand you.
Emes,
right, Emes, truth. Truth, right.
Oh,
right.
And you have an example, by the way, of Doeg Adomi, the perfect example of that.
Right, says the Torah was just on the cusp, right? It was just on the edge.
I just learned that they still,
it doesn't mean work anyway.
What the hell, man? So I don't know, maybe it's about my brother or someone, but maybe the Chazal, the Brush of the Torah, would indicate part of having the proper perspective
yes.
involved in revisiting one's attitude towards it on a regular basis. Like saying, like, there is a Brush of the Torah, and if that's but they didn't make the Brush of the Torah properly, it seems like in the Takana Brush of the Torah, it should force us to...
Oh, you're speaking stop. To Matt, you're speaking to Matt's point.
Yeah.
Right.
So let's take stock in the daily, to think at the very basis of where yeah. we're headed and what we're doing, to give us a proper attitude.
Very good.
What is it? When we say the Haraman, so through the text of the Brush of the Torah, it could be helped to refocus us in the beginning of our day, that we are, you know, we don't lose sight of our...
Yeah, that's a very good point. I'm assuming everyone heard it. Just to clarify, Rabbi Feder is saying that maybe part of the way that we as Lomdei Torah could ensure that we're always cognizant of the mission, of the proper mission, the proper goal in Limud Torah, the Hainu Lishma, is slow down when we say Berachas Torah. Say the Berachas Torah, say it properly and concentrate on what we're saying and understand that those brachas are there in part, certainly according to Bach and according to the Rav HaShulchan, those brachas there in part to remind us of this ideal. And you know, for those that are involved in Pesach, there's another bracha. Right? We must call to Kadosh Baruch Hu that we approach learning properly, we don't make mistakes, and we understand this important business, important stuff, not just mental gymnastics, but real truth and real things that make a difference in people's lives. Okay, so thank you very much for your kind attention. And if you have other questions, you can speak to Rabbi Zimmer.
Got it?
Yes.
Yeah. sorry, just one more question. Maybe this was already covered, in all the discussions already, but the question comes out of a Halacha Shiur, a Gemara Shiur. He hears the approaches, the definitions of the Machlokas. He appreciates the whole step by step of the Gemara, and he really sees like a whole system, that unfolds. And so is that just part of the enjoyment that we're talking about, or is that part of the Ahavat Hashem also, that he sees the Chachma, the Torah Hashem?
I'm sorry, what happened? The fellow listened to this year, and then what happened? He just walked away?
So he's just thrown back at the beauty of the idea, at the unfolding of the explanation, the abstract concept of the Sugya. So is that just that appreciation that he has?
Well, I guess that comes back to Mrs. Lifter's point. What are you experiencing when you're thinking that? If you think that's, wow, that's very interesting, or wow, that's really creative, I don't know that that's Lishma. If you don't tie it back to something, Kedei L'Kayim or Avas Hashem, or some other aspect of your avoda, then that seems to be an enjoyment like any other enjoyment. That was very enjoyable. That was very entertaining. Again, that's not to say that the ideas are not enjoyable. That's not to say that the experience or the undertaking is not pleasurable. But if that's the only thing that person got out of it, then yeah, then I think that's falling short of Lishma. Does that speak to your question?
Well, I'm just wondering, in terms of what, I don't know if you went into this, but in terms of the Rambam, the halachos of the mitzvah of Ahava, like he discusses in the entire chain, in Sodei HaTorah, he talks about B'Shati is funny and hard of the mitzvah of the world and if one has a goal in Yerimahan, talks about so she'im la'irach
l'opik,
that he always will shabeach and far, etc. I mean, that's the mitzvah of Ahava Hashem. I understand in the halachos of it, he's not talking specifically about Talmud Torah, but...
I think that's the Rambam where he's talking about recognizing the Borei Olam from the Bria. Right? That's not Limud HaTorah. A person walks out and sees the hand of Hashem in the creation. That's different than learning through a sugya and just saying that was enjoyable. If the guy learns through a sugya and says, wow, I see the awesomeness of Hashem, that sounds like it's more in line with what you're talking about. Not someone who just says that's enjoyable. Right? I'm not saying you should walk away seeing a nice sunset or seeing a beautiful mountain and say, wow, that was enjoyable. He's saying you're supposed to walk away and say, wow, my Rabbi Masach Hashem. Not that's a beautiful mountain end. It's a beautiful mountain that a Kodesh Baruch Hu created. So in the same way, a person walks away from Torah and says, that's fun, that's enjoyable. That's not the same as saying, that's a really enjoyable Torah that a Kodesh Baruch Hu created so that I could get closer to him. Those are two different things, I think. Okay? Yeah.
How are you understanding the, just come back to the brachos?
Mm-hmm.
So what's the idea that they didn't say the brachos, that they didn't learn the Shema? Why is it
so? The way the Ron quotes it, the name of Yudachos, Rabbeinu Yonah, is that they were mezalzel. Now what does that mean, mezalzel? It says that they weren't machshavit to be something that can make a bracha. Mm-hmm. Well, if you view it as something that's purely enjoyment, on the heat that we make brachos on things that are enjoyable, but if you view it as something that's a discipline that you engaged in just simply because it's enjoyable, you're not going to make a bracha on that. Right? Guy opens up a physics book, he enjoys it, gets a lot of hana out of it. You're not making a bracha on it. Why? Because that's just enjoyment. I like this. I like working on this. It's fun. It's enjoyable. That's not something that you view as bracha worthy. So they did it. They were involved in it all day, but they failed to appreciate something very important about it. They fail to appreciate its true significance. Again, it's Mashma Mizlashim. You can even suggest that they said Berkas HaTorah, but they were Mezalzel in Berkas HaTorah. Mezalzel doesn't mean they didn't say it. Mezalzel means they just treated it inappropriately.
So they didn't say it, then once
again, it's just an obvious. You could say that, right? You could say that. Or you could say that doesn't seem like such a serious transgression that should warrant the Korban. Yeah, we did everything else. We didn't say Berkas HaTorah. Okay, everyone should have a nice day.